Well, the title of the message this morning is The Skeptic. I don't know if you found the skeptics in our scripture verses. Certainly, Lot was skeptical that God would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He was skeptical even though he knew he was in the presence of angels. Otherwise, why would he have lingered? Perhaps his wife was skeptical that she was warned, don't look back. Do it. And yet, having received that warning, maybe a little bit of skepticism, she could just get a peek. She's turned to a pillar of salt. The Bible warns us in our Romans text that everyone has sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. Each one of us needs a Savior. A lot of skeptics in our world who don't believe that's true. But our main text this morning comes from John chapter 1, 35 through 51, where we find this man, Nathanael. And he hears that the Christ has come, the Savior of the world, and he responds with skepticism. Oh, come on. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Well, skepticism is kind of wired into us, as it turns out. It's part of our old nature. It's part of the reality of living in this fallen world, right? We all have heard this since we were children, you know, only believe about half of what you hear and maybe a third of what you read. The great Swedish theologian of the 19th century, Carl Rosenius, he wrote a wonderful book about peace with God. And in that, probably the most profound thing for me as I read that, I've read that book several times, he writes that faith which is not tested is not true faith. I believe that's absolutely true, and I believe that's absolutely biblical. That faith which is not tested is not true faith. Rosenius was a great theologian, but his best and lasting contributions to the church were monthly articles he wrote in a journal called The Pietist for about 25 years in Sweden, but it's reached into Norway as well and Finland. And what made him so important to the church was in each of these monthly articles, he took God's word and he wrestled with the issues that you and I wrestle with about our salvation and about our failings and about God and about doubts. It's a great truth. In faith, doubts will come. Doubts come because you live in a fallen world where the devil tries to corrupt everything good. He tries to capture your soul. But also, each one of us, each one of you, has an old nature that's in rebellion against God and secretly wants to follow after the devil. And so, our faith is tested. Rosenius was so trained by God's word to recognize that true faith perseveres through doubts and is in fact strengthened in those fights against doubt. But the caution in his statement is that whoever never doubts, whoever can say, I have never doubted, well, they may need to examine their faith. What is it that they really believe? Thomas More once wrote, it's a fatal mistake, it's a fatal error to mistake historical belief with saving faith. A man may firmly believe the historical facts that Jesus came and lived and died on a cross, but the knowledge that he came and died for you and that you need this Savior, that's saving faith. Today's scripture brings us a skeptic and also shows us the true path through skepticism to to saving faith. Saving faith follows when you come and see Jesus for yourself. I want to turn back to this scripture text, but I'm going to abbreviate it beginning at verse 44. John 1, verse 44. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were still under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." In this morning's text, we see that God's word is more than a match for skepticism. In fact, we see that Jesus, first of all, Jesus meets the skeptical world head on. And we need to do the same. Second of all, we see that Jesus knows each one. He sees you. He knows you where you are. And third, we see that Jesus opens heaven for you. Well, Jesus doesn't dodge the world. He doesn't dodge facts. He doesn't run away from skepticism. He meets skepticism head on. Nathanael is one of the two great, there are others, but there are two great skeptics that we remember in the New Testament. Nathanael's one of them. You might remember the other one, Thomas. Remember Thomas? When he was told that Christ had arisen, he said, "I won't believe, not unless I see those marks in his hands and this spear wound in his side, I won't believe." Two great skeptics. Both men were called by Jesus to be apostles. Both men would die as martyrs in the faith. Thomas died in India, was speared to death while he was evangelizing there. Nathanael died a much more horrible death that I won't even recount to you, although it's in the history books, in Turkey. Philip, another apostle, he had been called by Christ, and Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to bring Nathanael to Christ, just as Andrew was led by the Holy Spirit to get his brother Peter and bring him to Christ. God moves in mysterious ways. He works through you so often. But these men called by God were brought to Christ by other believers. And that's something for each one of us to think on. Remember, we heard last week the Bible tell us that you are ambassadors for Christ. You are God's fellow workers, 1 and 2 Corinthians. So Philip calls Nathanael, and he shares the good news. He says in verses 45 and 46, "We have found him who Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Now, Nathanael is a skeptic on the same order as the skeptics that you run into, maybe in your own family. and certainly in the world around us. Nathanael knew the prophecies, and he knew the promises of God. And in our own world today, you know, there's probably nobody here in northern Minnesota that you could come up to and talk to about Jesus who hasn't heard about him. They know about God. They know about the judgment that's supposedly coming, right? They know that God has a plan for salvation, but they don't believe it. They choose to live on in rebellion. In Nathanael's case, he knew the scriptures well, and he knew of no prophecy that the Messiah would come from Nazareth. You see, there's the rub. The Bible says the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Indeed, the Old Testament gave clear prophecy. Nathanael knew it, and so he says, oh, come on. Nothing good's going to come out of Nazareth. There are others who doubted Jesus as the Messiah in those days. Some doubted him because he was a humble carpenter, and they expected a king or a prince or a warrior, some aristocrat, something that the world would view as lofty and mighty. But Jesus, a carpenter, come on, he's a nobody. There were so many reasons. There still remain so many reasons that Satan heaps up like a mountain of skepticism, blocking the way to salvation. It's instructive, I think, for us as followers of Christ, as we try to work as evangelists and ambassadors. It's instructive for us to see the situation Philip was in. Philip knew the scriptures too. Philip didn't know yet the story of Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, that his family had fled down to Egypt to escape Herod and the murder of the innocents. He didn't know that yet. He didn't know that Joseph had then brought his family back to Nazareth. He didn't know these details, but he knew that Jesus was the Christ. And here we find Philip, a believer, and he's confronted with the skeptic, and the skeptic raises a question that the believer can't answer. That's basically what Nathanael was saying. It's like, come on, the Messiah is not supposed to come out of Nazareth. Philip didn't have an answer for that. Not yet. And there will be many questions. There are probably questions for you sometimes when you talk to Jesus or talk to your friends about Jesus. Maybe they bring up evolution. What about carnivores? Why have they got those big fangs? Right? What about radiocarbon dating? Doesn't that prove the world is millions and millions of years old? Billions of years old? What about evil? How can there be a good God and still evil in the world? All these skeptical questions. Well, the Bible has the answers to these questions, but you may not have them at your fingertips, not at the time you're confronting the skeptic. Just like Philip didn't have the answer of Bethlehem when he was confronting Nathanael. And so what's instructive for us is to do what Philip did. Philip did what you and I must do, and that is he said to Nathanael, come and see. He didn't try to argue where Jesus was born. He just said, come and see. He invited Nathanael to come to Jesus. Can you do that today? Sure you can. The word of God that we have, that he has given to us, not only points directly to Jesus Christ, it not only explains Jesus Christ, explains our need for Jesus Christ, but indeed is Jesus Christ with us. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible says, let the Word of Christ live in you richly in all wisdom. And so you see, like Philip in verse 46, you can say, come and see. Jesus answers the skeptical world. He meets the skeptical world head on. Because Jesus knows you, and he knows me, and he knows each one. He knows every person who has ever been born. He knows all the details. And so we see that Philip did his job. He told Nathanael that the Savior had come. He knew where to find Jesus. Now it's up to the Holy Spirit to call Nathanael to faith. Well, the Holy Spirit called Nathanael to come to Jesus. Come he did. Even if he came in doubt and even if he came in unbelief. Do you know how many unbelievers have opened up the Bible so that they could prove in their own minds that it's wrong only to be converted? It's a very common testimony. Skepticism is no obstacle to Jesus Christ. It's no obstacle to the Word of God. And it's no obstacle to the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew Nathanael. And he knew exactly where Nathanael was at in his spiritual life. Verse 47 and 49, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus, and this is probably one of the key verses in this text, Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Something happened here. And we need to read between the lines. We have to. The text begs it. Because suddenly, Jesus says, "I knew you when you were under the fig tree." And suddenly, Nathanael, everything has changed. Suddenly, Nathanael answers to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." That didn't happen just because Jesus happened to see Nathanael under the fig tree as he walked into town. Something dramatic has happened. Something divine has happened here. Well, Jesus knows Nathanael as a true Israelite, one who's been raised in the Old Testament covenant, one who knew and believed the promises of God. Jesus knew that Nathanael was straightforward in his life. Nathanael applied what God told him in his word. But more important than that, Jesus knew that Nathanael had been praying to God under that fig tree. Sometime earlier, we don't know when. We don't know the nature of Nathanael's prayer. Maybe he was praying for his family. Maybe he was praying about work. Maybe he was praying that God would strengthen his faith. Maybe he was praying that God would send the Savior. We don't know. God knew. Jesus knew. And that's what convinced Nathanael that he was in the presence of God. Jesus knew what Nathanael had been praying for, and Nathanael knows that Jesus knew. And Nathanael's skepticism is swept away. And he says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." So you see, Philip did the right thing. He let Jesus meet Nathanael where he was at. He let Jesus do the talking. And dear friends, this is true for you and for me as we deal with our family and friends and acquaintances. Tell them about Jesus, the Savior. And when you meet skeptical responses, tell them to come and see. Give them the scriptures. Mark with a bookmark the book of John and tell them to start there. Read the book of John. Come to Jesus yourself. See what he has to say. And then maybe if you've got a second bookmark, bookmark the book of Romans. Because John is the most amazing divine revelation of who Jesus is. And Romans is the clearest description of the gospel and the doctrine of salvation in the Bible. Jesus knows each one of us. Jesus knows who you are. He knows every place you've been. Jesus knows all your prayers. And Jesus will meet you where you are and show you the truth about yourself and your need for a Savior. But also Jesus knows every skeptical argument, and he will plow right through those, just like a river cuts right through a mountain of doubt and skepticism. And Jesus will open the way to faith and eternal life. The Word of God, Christ's own Word, opens the doors of heaven. Jesus opens heaven for you. Because you see, the reality, the spiritual reality of eternal life is actually known by every living person. The Bible says that we are cut off from eternal life by our fallen conditions. Romans 2:15 says, the law is written in every heart. Every conscience bears witness that we are sinners, and we will not be able to stand in the judgment. A day will come for each one of us when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And the question is, how will that day go for you? Nathaniel, he may have had a head start on some. He was an Israelite without deceptions. He knew about the Creator God. He knew about the fall of man. He knew that because of sin and unbelief and rebellion, he needed a Savior. He knew these things. And that's the purpose of the law, to show us our sin and to open our hearts to need for the need of a Savior. Nathanael was not deceiving himself. That's what Jesus meant when he said, truly an Israelite without deception. He knew he needed a Savior. He wasn't deceiving himself. And perhaps under that fig tree, he had prayed that God would send his Savior. But the knowledge of sin, the knowledge of our sinful estate, does not open the doors of heaven. It opens your heart to hear the good news. We have found him. We have found the Messiah, whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. If your heart has been opened by the law, if you know that you've sinned and deserve judgment that is coming, if you hear the promise that God loves you and has a plan by which your sins may be forgiven, by which you may be saved and come to heaven and eternal life. If you've heard these things, then come and see. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the King of Israel. Israel is the people of God, those chosen before time for adoption as sons and daughters through faith in Jesus Christ, just as the Bible says in Ephesians 1. Verse 4. Oh, there will be skepticism. Is he really the one? Can he really save me? And the Bible says, come and see. Come and see. Meet Jesus in his holy word. Let him talk with you. Jesus is the Savior. He knows all about you. Jesus knows everything about you, and yet Jesus chose to die for you on that cross. And you will know that he is the Son of God. He is your King and Savior. And verse 51 says, you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is both Son of God and Son of Man. And as a man, a human man, a personal man just like you, he lived a perfect life. He lived the perfect life that you were meant to live. And then he died that death that each one of us deserves to die. But he did that so that you don't need to die. There is a stairway to heaven, and that stairway is Jesus Christ. He has opened it for you. And just as the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, for those who know Jesus as Savior, his angels will minister to you all the days of your life. May the name of Jesus be praised. Amen.